You're on your own, Bob.
I'm on my own. There we go. All right, let's pray, and then we'll start. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's just go ahead and do the one that Jesus wrote. Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, Jesus really didn't write that, but he should have, right? That's good enough. Well, it's nice to see. I don't know what you're all expecting.
That's why we're here.
But it's nice to see everybody here. I'm sure the keg appreciates the Catholic population of Colwich right now. So thanks for coming tonight. So what I would like to do is I would like to kind of give you a heads up to where we are. And where I think, you know, there's some things that we can be doing as a parish community. Where we are currently right now, we are very good. We are very good currently. Things are better than I think we deserve. I think, you know, life is good in Colwich. Life is good in Sacred Heart. Mass attendance is up. The census is up. Finances are up. The sacramental life of the parish community is significantly up over last year. So part of my hesitation about sharing this is that, you know, I don't want you all to stop, especially when it comes to giving. I don't want you to stop. So on your table there is a snapshot of the finances of the parish. I put one on every table. We are, you know, the bottom line is that we're currently sitting on $1.1 million in assets currently, which for a parish our size is pretty darn good. It's pretty darn good for a parish our size. We have no debt at all. You can look at that in one or two ways. A parish with no debt is a luxury, but most Catholic parishes have a debt. In some places that defines the Catholic Church is a debt. We don't have one. We'll talk about that possibility later. But right now, financially, right now we are sitting in a very sweet spot. To encourage you to keep that up, please, because there are things coming down. There are things coming our way that we maybe want to pay attention to. And so if we stay on top of our financial health, then it should be rather easy overall for the parish. But the only thing that we're currently suffering from is a little bit of a loss from the endowment. It's about $20,000 down. Well, everybody else is about the same as we are. But overall, I mean, I couldn't be happier overall. So thank you all very much for that. We are currently sitting at 433 families. Seventeen and under makes up 29% of the parish. 18 to 25, you make up almost 9% of the parish. 25 to 32 makes up almost 17% of the parish. 40 to 52 make up almost 17% of the parish. 60 to 72, you are 19% of the parish. So we are a little old and we are a lot young, right? We're a little old and a lot young, which is nice because it's the future looks bright. I mean, the future really looks bright, and to have such a nice cushion of people who are longtime members of the parish. To pass on what is uniquely about, you know, what makes Sacred Heart is important to have that. So it's important, you know, for us to come together too as a family, to where, you know, where the newer members of the parish get to know those who've been around for a while. In 2000 um, in 2000 and um, 2021, we had 26 new families. In 2022, we had 37 new families. And we currently have 11 new families now, currently for January and February, 11 new families. Last year for 2022, we had 40 baptisms last year for 2022. Now that's, you know, to me, I mean, that's a nice number of baptisms. If you are, you know, if you're Our Lady of Perpetual Help or the Cathedral or St. Patrick's, you know, or Margaret Mary, I mean, you know, they do 200 some baptisms a year. But they're also 11, 12, 1300 families too. So we're 443 families, and we did 40 baptisms last year. We had 13 marriages last year. We had 10 funerals last year, and we had 17 first communions last year. You know, that number, if we keep growing the way we're growing, that number, you know, that number will, as far as first communions and all that, will definitely pick up. There's a couple of things that I would like to implement for the upcoming year. Since we're in February, the middle of almost of February, I think there is a need more now than any other time, most especially since, you know, our culture is changing. Here in our little green acre here, we're very blessed. We comfortably live out our faith here in College, Sacred Heart and College. Christendom is somewhat safe here. I mean, the vast majority of people that you associate with identify themselves as Catholic and as Christian people, but all we have to do is to stop and look, and especially those of you who've been around for a while, and you will see that's not necessarily the case. The numbers of those who identify themselves as Catholic or Christian who live in this community, those numbers are beginning to diminish a bit. So therefore those of us who embrace the Catholic faith and who identify ourselves as Christian, we might have to move ourselves beyond Christendom, beyond a comfortable Catholicism, and start pursuing a more challenging relationship with our society as a whole. So there's an emphasis in going back to what we're calling an apostolic age. Where we are being sent out by the Lord. We are being sent out by the Lord to go into our communities and to preach and to teach the gospel message. Now, the most effective way to do this is the way that our Lord's disciples did it. There was no such thing as large church structures. There was no such thing as, you know, huge gatherings. They went from home to home to home, to neighborhood, to city, to preach the gospel message. So what I would like to put forth is that I would like to see small, intimate groups begin to develop within our neighborhoods. Within our neighborhoods, small, intimate groups, either theological or scripturally based groups, that also, you know, can serve as a social outlet, but a place where, you know, people can gather, but also a place where you can invite others to come along with you. So, for instance, in the neighborhoods that directly surround the church, there's no reason why there is not a home or two homes in each one of these neighborhoods that meets on a regular basis with the people of your neighborhood. So that means you're going to have to go out and knock on those doors. You know, I can think of three or four families that just north of the parish, that identify themselves as Catholic, but maybe don't necessarily go on a regular basis. That, you know, where those people are, you know, we go to those people, we ask them to join us, not necessarily going to Mass on Sunday, but to join us in our pursuit of our Christianity, in the pursuit of developing our relationship with Jesus Christ. And where this will take place in a small, intimate settings. in your homes, or even at the parish, if your home is not sufficient enough, and your home is, right? Don't worry about your home. We all kind of live. At the same level to one degree or another here in this parish community, but to open your home. So I'm putting forth a group of people that will gather names. So if you don't be surprised soon if you are contacted by somebody to ask you to be a place of small group gathering, a place of small Catholic community, of Christian fellowship. Coming together. We need to re-evangelize, to reignite, to once again excite the people of our community in pursuing their faith. So what that means for us is that means that we're going to have to make ourselves just a little bit uncomfortable. It's not an easy thing to go up to your neighbors and to ask them to share your faith. And we're just not going to those people who believe. We're not just going to those people that sit next to you in your pew. We're going to go to those who don't necessarily have any association with any type of religious belief that live in our community. I mean, this is traditionally a Catholic Christian community. And for so many years, it was taken for granted. Well, we can't take that for granted today. Not anymore. It's not possible. So I think it is a smart move on the parish's part to be evangelistic, to go out and to invite, to bring others along with us, to walk with people in living our faith. So we have to be on our toes too. Because the loudest way, the most vocal way that we can proclaim the faith of Jesus Christ is by how we live out our lives. So we're going to ask people into our homes and ask people to come to be part of our faith community, and so therefore we very well may have to tighten up what we say and what we do and how we act. But I just think with this community, the way this community is built, the way everything just kind of circles around the parish church and it goes out from the parish church, is that there's no better place to have a small group intimate session. So people will be contacted to potentially be couples to share. To share our faith in small groups. Questions on that? Yes, sir. Ron. Is there going to be a format?
Is it going to be informal? Is it going to be informal?
Like Fiat Couples has a format. Yes, Fiat Couples is a good example of what I'm talking about. Fiat Couples is 8, 10, 12 something people like that, coming together, maybe not once a month, but every other month for dinner and sharing their faith. And yes, we will have something that we will give you to help you do that. Yes.
Great.
Yeah. All right, so now on top of that, I would also like to have parish retreats. There is parish retreats called ACTS. ACTS is a parish-wide retreat that takes place in not necessarily small groups, but not large groups, but the kind of the in between. And there are several of these retreats given throughout the year. And who conducts the retreats is the people of the parish. You all will conduct the retreat for one another. So you're all on the same playing field. So if you're going to go to retreat, to an ACTS retreat, most likely you're going to also be asked to help give an ACTS retreat. So what one does, so will the other. If we're going to really open ourselves up and really be evangelical and be apostolic, I mean, we have to work on ourselves spiritually, to open ourselves up to the promptings of the Spirit. To spend some time in prayer and meditation. To kind of slow down. Our world is very busy. There's a lot going on in our world. That we have a lot of responsibilities. There's a lot of noise in our world. And so for the parish to take retreats with one another, I hope to eventually, you know, open this up to you all as a whole. So that leads me to one little exciting thing that's going on in the diocese right now. One little exciting thing is a possibility of a family camp, not a youth camp, but a family camp. To where we have youth activities, but we can also have activities for parishes, for families, you know, for a variety of different reasons. And in the diocese is actually pursuing a purchase of some land north of Hutchinson that will serve as, you know, a camp for the youth of our diocese. But let's just say Sacred Heart, and let's say, you know, two or three neighborhoods and Sacred Heart wants to go on a 2-day retreat. You know, the family camp will be available for you to do that. You know, or to say that I want to take the parish leadership for a 2 or 3 nights getaway. You know, the family camp will be available for that. Or if a family, you know, let's just say, I don't know, the Weddas get tired of renting the wreck. They could take over the whole family camp, the Weddas, you know, along with the Solentrops and everybody else. But, you know, so that's going to be available for us. And that's one of the things that's going to be on the possible diocesan capital campaign. One of our urgent things that we need to address is youth education. Right now, the parish is in the midst of changing up youth education a bit from the traditional CCD or PSR mode to the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd mode. Catechesis of the Good Shepherd is hands-on. It's like Montessori. It's tactile. It gives the student an experience of living their faith, a knowledge that is based not only in their minds but in their hearts of living out their faith. And so, therefore, we are beginning, you know, a change in how we approach the religious education of our children. It will still be necessary to teach our children the basics. It'll still be necessary to teach our children their prayers. But where the basics come into play and where they learn how to pray comes into play is how the family lives out their faith. You know, you all are part of the educational life of the parish. So how you live out your faith as parents and grandparents and family and friends is so very important for the youth. The youth will pick it up. As you go, so will they. So for us to live out our faith and to embrace our faith as a community of believers, to give our young people a true example of what it really means, it really means to be authentically Catholic, is not only a challenge for us, but also it's a responsibility for us. So for us to take on a different way, a different mode of educating our youth, I think at this time is important. Is important for the, you know, for the children themselves. What we're finding out is that our young people have a knowledge of the faith. I mean, they can tell you, like for instance, the kids that graduate from Bishop Carroll High School or Trinity High School, they can tell you what they believe and why they believe what they believe, but are they going to practice their faith after they graduate from that high school? And a lot of them are not. They're bailing on us. They're not practicing their faith. They're getting distracted. And I know what it's like to get distracted at college. I was there. I had more than my share of fun. But, you know, but the one thing that I never quit doing was practicing my faith. And the reason why, I think, is because of what was taught at home, from what my parents instilled into our lives at home. So for us to be mindful of the fact that all of us are the first educators of all our children, and living out their faith is so very important. We do it together. We do it together as a community, as a family united in Christ Jesus. So not only do we look for those in our neighborhood who maybe are not living, you know, not living the faith that we can identify with, but also, you know, we look to ourselves and we focus on the young people of our parish. So for the parish to spend a little bit of resources on the youth of our parish, I think is vitally important. For us to spend resources on the youth of our parish. I mean, if there's one thing that needs to go to is instilling the next level or the next generation. How are we doing? Questions, comments? Overwhelming, underwhelming? This is not going to happen tomorrow. This is going to happen gradually. I'm just not going to just inflict upon this all upon you tomorrow to where there's a collective freak out in the parish, right? Okay, we're going to work on this. We're putting our minds together. It's going to be slow and gradual, but it's also going to be purposeful. Right? It's going to happen, but it'll take a while. So in our parishes, I am of the mind and opinion that music is very important in our parishes. That a parish should not practice the poverty of Judas when it comes to music. You know what the poverty of Judas was, right? You know, Judas was stingy. You know, Judas was worried about the purse. You know, Judas liked money, but he liked to keep it to himself. So the parish should actively, I think, look for creative ways to enhance the quality of worship and of music in our parish. That's one of the reasons why I kind of went on the wild side a little bit and, you know, started this, putting a pipe organ in our parish church. And if you haven't seen it, all you have to do is just kind of look up a little bit and you can see it in the choir loft, all right? It's quite impressive. It's an organ that was given that we got for free from a church up in Michigan. A Protestant church was changing their type of worship from a traditional type of worship to a contemporary type of worship. So they wanted to get rid of their pipe organ. So Bruce Seiler and his wife and a guy named Luke Headley went up to Michigan and they got this organ and they brought it back. And since then, they have been gradually in the process of installing it. It's 840 pipes, I think. It's an older instrument, but that makes no difference because pipe organ technology hasn't changed. So Luke Headley is the person that we've hired to install it. He is completely updating it. It will last. I asked him, I said, when's the next time that we're going to have to do anything to this thing? And he said, probably in 50 years. Right? So none of us, well, some of us, but I won't have to worry about it. So, with putting this pipe organ in place, I think this is a good time, for us to kind of ramp things up a little bit when it comes to the liturgy and to the music. I mean, we have music now that is beautiful. Ron does a great job, playing the piano and his guitar and cantering, working with the other cantors. But we need to put resources into encouraging other people to do more. So, for instance, like who's going to play the pipe organ? Well, Ben Krause will play the pipe organ. Ad Fox will play the pipe organ. I don't know. Hope?
Huh?
Hope is going to maybe take lessons. But we have people that can play it now. But I will. If you are a piano player and if you would like to learn how to play, I will. Parish will pay for pipe organ lessons. And the whole idea is that, especially with your children, how we instill excellence in music in our churches is by how we encourage the young people in our parish to participate in the musical life of the parish. You all have beautiful voices. Do you know that? What it's like to sit and listen to you all sing in that church in the sanctuary is absolutely amazing, even at the 8 o'clock Mass. It sounds beautiful. I mean, you all have beautiful voices. So, you know why our choir is not like bursting at the seams, I don't quite get that. Because I hear you all sing, and, you know, we could potentially have one of the most beautiful choirs in the whole area. Our church is so magnificently designed for the acoustical singing and instrumental playing that is necessary for our liturgical celebration. I mean, the acoustics in our church are absolutely amazing. But I really think that for us to have good music is what it captures people's imagination. St. Thomas Aquinas said, when you sing, you pray twice. To lift people's minds and hearts to the glory of God is all part of the liturgical celebration. So, good music. All right, the second part is good homilies. It's good homilies. Hoy. What are you going to do about that? Do you want to start writing them, Teresa?
I just had to. You open the door.
And there are days, I mean, honestly, there are days where I think to myself, York, that was pretty darn good. All right? And then there are days I go back to the presider's chair and I think, oh, dear God, that sucked. You need to rewrite that. So I will try to stay on my game or continue to try to pursue and to get better. To give you all something that you can think on and chew on, like after you leave Mass. One of the greatest things that I like to hear is that when someone comes up to me and says, "Father, we were talking about your sermon the other day." Now, I'm very hesitant to ask anybody about what they're talking about. Because sometimes some people will come up to me and go, "Father, I really liked your sermon." And I go, "What did you like?" And they'll tell me, and it's like, "No, I didn't say that." But somehow they heard that, the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit. So, for the community to have good liturgical life, to where you feel better. I mean, it's not going to be singing and dancing and hugging and all that kind of stuff. Okay, we're not that. I mean, if you want that, well, okay, there are churches that supply that, but we firmly believe that when we have Mass, when the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is celebrated, it's heaven here on earth. It's heaven here on earth. All the angels and saints, singing with you to the glory of God. So for us as a parish community, which I think we can do, one, we can afford it. Two, I think we have the resources to up our game on how we celebrate the most holy sacrifice of the Mass. It's all part of the evangelical life of the church, how we celebrate Mass. You know, we want people to come in and feel the parish community, to feel the life and the love of the parish, and the most important way we do that is how we say Mass, is how we participate and celebrate Mass. Any questions on that? Okay. I really think our choir should be busting at the seams. I really do. How are we doing? All right, the diocese is going to, the diocese most likely, I mean, right now we're right in the middle of feasibility studies, and I sit on, Bishop's leadership team as one of his vicars, so I'm more aware of what's going on than most priests are. So to kind of give you a little bit of heads up to where we are as a diocese without spilling the beans too much, is that we are right in the middle of a feasibility study for a capital campaign for the diocese as a whole. Some of you will be approached. I put don't hate me, but I put some of your names on a list, right? And some of you will be approached about the possibility of a diocesan campaign for a significant amount of money. There are several different things that we would like to see done. One is that the cathedral downtown needs the towers, the bell towers and the roof of the cathedral is deteriorating, is falling apart. 10, 12 years ago when we renovated the cathedral, they told us that it would be another 10 to 12 years before we have to do anything to the cathedral roof, and that's exactly where we find ourselves right now. Cathedral roof is copper, so therefore it's very expensive. But, however, it has lasted since, 1915. So, we're just now the generation that has to take care of it. So, the cathedral roof. Another part of the capital campaign, if you go downtown, you will see that downtown is being just completely overwhelmed by homelessness. It's absolutely overwhelming. It's a little scary, actually, to be honest with you. To walk around, the neighborhoods, to drive down Topeka to 1st or 2nd Street and get stopped on the stoplight, you just don't know what's going to happen. So the diocese probably along with the city, but the diocese wants to have something available, on hand, monetarily to begin to do something to help with those who are homeless, those who are disenfranchised. So part of the capital campaign is going to go for the poor, which everything that we do, all the money that we raise, should go for the poor. Like, for instance, there is a certain amount every month that we collect as a parish that we send to one of the poorer parishes in the city. We do that every month. Because we're fortunate, we're blessed. I mean, God has been good to us, so we can afford to help those who are maybe struggling a little bit. Another part of the capital campaign is going to be the family camp. Now, the diocese has already decided.
You're not like stereo.
I swear. That in this parish, all these kids are connected in this parish. One starts crying, oh my good Lord. The battery's gone. Not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before, every kid in the parish, I mean, kids who normally don't make any noises, completely had meltdowns. And all his sisters took one to start, and it's just like they sent out a call, and then they all started. So the diocese has already decided is that no matter what, feasibility study or no feasibility study, we're going to go ahead with this family camp concept. We're really putting it on the line here. We're putting ourselves in, we're putting ourselves possibly in harm's way here a little bit. We are a litigation society. People love to sue. They love to sue the Catholic Church because, they look at us like we have the deepest pockets. But, however, there's always been a concern. I mean, all the years I've been a priest, there's always been a concern that, somebody's going to sue us if we have something like this. Well, all right. So right now, with the stewardship life of the parishes, the diocesan commitment to youth ministry, the quality of our schooling, it seems like with the number of young families that we have, not only in this community but communities like this, in our parishes throughout the city and everything that surrounds Wichita, to have some place where families can come to go and to gather and to live out each other's faith and enjoy one another in a healthy environment. It's a good idea. So we are investing in that family camp. Now, how it's going to look and how fast things get done all depends on if we have a capital campaign or not. So if we go ahead and have a capital campaign, now everything so far seems to be pointing that people who are participating in the feasibility studies like the idea, you know, we have to fix the cathedral. We have to fix the cathedral. That's all there is to it. And the second one is like this family camp idea is a pretty darn good idea. They're liking this idea. Another area for a capital campaign is for teacher salaries. Now, this is kind of a sticky wicket. Because honestly, stewardship should take care of the salaries that teachers need to have a livable income in our parishes. But it's not. It's not, and we can't keep up with the public schools. You know, the public school system sued the state, I don't know what, a handful of years ago. And because of that, they've been having a lot of fat. I mean, they're raising these teacher salaries, and they're giving them a livable income, which is they should, all right? They should, but we just can't keep up with it. You know, our idea is to maybe have 85% to 90% of our teachers making what the public school teachers make, but we can't keep up with that. Most especially in our high schools. Our high schools are just, you know, they're just, you know, they can just suck the financial health right out of the diocese. But the high schools are so necessary. 60% of our young men who are studying for the priesthood come from our high schools. 60%. I mean we can't deny that. I mean they have a benefit. They serve a need. So for us to be able to, you know, have a pool of money to where we can actually tap into to pay our teachers a livable wage, you know, not to where they're making as much, but you know where they're pretty close. Because what's killing us right now, honestly, what's killing us is that we'll train these teachers. I mean, when they're young, they want to come and teach in the Catholic schools, our Catholic students, our Catholic teachers. But they get 3 or 4 years, and then they go off to the public school and make a nice, you know, they have a nice increase. So to be able to keep up with that to some degree is our desire. The last part of the capital campaign applies to us. Applies to us. If we choose to participate in the capital campaign, if the diocese chooses to have one, and if we as a parish choose to participate in the capital campaign, then a percentage of what is raised comes back to us. A percentage of what we raise comes back to us. So the question that we need to ask ourselves, what do we want? What do we want to do? And really, honestly, I think we need to think big. What do we want to do? What does the parish need to do? See, I mean, you know, okay, we don't have any needs. We don't have any needs. Everything is taken care of. Now we got to keep on top of it, otherwise things are going to fall apart, right? But right now the infrastructure, the buildings, our liturgical space, I mean, everything is pretty darn nice. Could be better in some areas, all right? But that's just part of the life and the breath of a parish. But for us to stop and think about it, if we enter into a diocesan capital campaign, and if we piggyback upon that as a parish community, what do we want to do? This is one of the few times in our life we can actually get something that we want. I mean, we have all our needs taken care of, but what do we want? You know, for us to stop and think about that and maybe kind of like come up, you know, be creative. Come up with some, you know, something that, you know, that will extend, you know, the life of this parish into the next, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years that will help this parish, reach out and to evangelize. That will give this parish, you know, the facilities or the infrastructure needed you know, to be a welcoming to welcoming to the people who live within our town, within this community. So part of the capital campaign could come back to us. We have the luxury of like, okay, what do you want to do? This could be fun. You know, it could be a challenge. But who knows? Who knows, you know, where we could take this. Oh, just FYI, we have a trip to the Holy Land scheduled. We have a trip to the Holy Land scheduled. It will be, let me get the dates right. Let's see. It will be November 30th through December the 9th. November 30th through December the 9th. Trip to the Holy Land. So we will be staying in Jerusalem, Tiberias, and Bethlehem. And then we will go, you know, forth from those different directions. How much? Don't know. We'll find out this week. But we'll start advertising it soon. And I would like to make it, you know, a Call Which thing. If we don't get enough people to go and Call Which, you know, then I may, you know, open it up to Wichita too. But I don't know why we couldn't have it. Just a nice little, you know, look, okay, not to be snotty about it, but if Andale and St. Mark's can do it, by God, so can we. So it's one of those once in a lifetime things. I mean, you know, it's an opportunity, you know, on your bucket list maybe to do something with, you know, not with family, but you know, the people you practice your faith with. It's kind of cool. Please RSVP for the Mardi Gras party by this Friday. If you have not yet RSVP'd, please do so. The Mardi Gras party is our little way of saying thank you to you. For parishioners, it's just come and enjoy. If you want to bring family or, you know, or some friends along with you, it's $20. It's $20. So, but, you know, last year, you know, we're going to have, last year was a lot of fun. This year, you know, we're going to have, you know, the theater department at Andale High School is going to do something based on based on our stained glass windows, and then we have a ventriloquist coming too, which should be fascinating. And then, of course, you know, we'll have a DJ for dancing and all that kind of stuff. But it's just a nice time, you know, to come together to enjoy each other's enjoy each other's company, to kind of blow off some steam. You know, just to relax and have a good time. Check your bulletin for things that you can possibly do for Lent. One of the fun things we're doing is, and I saw Jenny. Where are you, Jenny? You want to come here and tell me what's going on? What you're doing with the Chosen?
Sure, you want to give me this much?
Just make it short.
So on Thursday nights, we'll do a Bible study. You don't even need to bring a Bible, but it is a Bible study through The Chosen. So last year we watched season one. This year we'll watch season two. And we'll look at the scripture verses that are included in each episode. And so it's really good time to dig into not just the show, but to scripture and to reflect, and then to discuss together. We also have it available if you want to do a watch party at home. We can give you the materials and you can let the kids run wild and watch it at home. So we have that also as a possibility. And just to plug in, if anybody wants to, we have RCIA class every Saturday morning just about. And we're just going through our Catholic faith. And if there's any a topic that you're interested in learning more about, or you haven't heard about it since you were in third or fourth grade, well, it's open to anybody who wants to come and learn a little bit more or review their Catholic faith. So those are some educational opportunities that we have going on.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jenny. Okay, so now it's the time for questions. So financials. Any questions on the financials? Yes, sir.
If you have money available to send people to Oregon training, do we have money available for your homily lessons?
That's okay, Anthony. I know where you live. That's okay.
You can ask about penance later.
You better find a priest that cares, Anthony. Any questions about the financials? I want to be a good steward of your money. All right. So, you know, you all are so giving. I want you to continue to be giving so that we can do things that, you know, that to continue to improve the life of our parish community. Doc.
What is the endowment go to? I didn't realize we had that.
So we now have a quasi endowment. For years, it just sat in the savings account. So the quasi-endowment go towards anything we want it to go towards. The only thing that's limited is the cemetery fund. But the we can touch as much of that, and there's nothing designated. It's just better interest rates.
Father, I have a question now.
So you talked about capital campaign.
Right.
What we want to do, and the percentage comes back to us. Explain that a little bit more in detail. So we as a parish decide how much we are going to give. And
so the parish is going to be asked, I think, how it is right now. Now this they're all right in the middle of tweaking this.
Okay.
The parish is going to be asked to give a certain amount of money to the diocesan capital campaign. So so a percentage of that will come back to us, and then what we can do is that we can piggyback on the diocesan capital campaign and have our own too. And everything that we raise beyond that comes back to us.
Okay.
But how I understand it, the percentage of what we give is supposed to be earmarked and come back to the parish.
Has there been any projections about what to do with that lot north of the rectory?
So that's a good question, because I walked by that. The dog and I walked by that the other day. So that lot is good for two things: parking cars and for the dog to do her business. And what to do with that lot that's just north of the parish? I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like seeing that in small towns. When you drive through a small town and you see lots that are empty with a concrete base that used to house some type of building that was important, but it's gone now. They tore it down because they couldn't afford to keep it up or whatever. I don't think that's a good sign for the community. So for us to be able to use that lot north of us in a creative way, right now I don't know what. But you know, we just got to do something with it. I would like to knock out all the concrete and all that kind of stuff and plant make it look better. But. Anybody else about finances? What about life of the parish? Any questions about that? About the small groups, the religious education, life of the parish.
We just had a parish directory about 2020, I think it was.
Yeah.
And of course, some of the COVID in there also. You mentioned we have so many new families.
Right.
I think it's time to get a new parish directory.
So I don't do parish directories. Every time I do a parish directory, I move. And that's the God's honest truth. Now, I mean, if you want me to move on, all right, I'll be more than... You know, if you want to find a better preacher, I don't know. So there is on the cell phone and there is an app. It's called Realm. It's a free app. In this app, if we use this app correctly, this will replace the parish directory. Like, I will go into Realm, and I will type in Spexarth. I will type in Spexarth, if I can spell it right. Come on, work.
You're in the keg.
I'm in the keg. Dang it. So I typed in Spexarth, and Greg Spexarth's name pulled up. I hit Greg Spexarth, and he says that he's married to Rue. That's what he says. And then it gives me his address. Gives me his address, and then also GPS how to get to his house.
Does it require a password?
No. So it's called Realm. It's an app. It is very easy. All the families are on this app. With pictures, so if we have a picture of you in an old picture directory, we have a picture of you on this app. Yours work? Yeah, it's really very easy, very handy. But I don't know. The problem with parish directories is that you're not finding companies to do them anymore.
Well, St. Jude just had one done about 2 months ago.
Did they got
it back from some place in South Carolina.
Okay.
They were very happy with it.
Well, that's unusual. Okay.
You're just worried about moving.
I'm telling you, every time I've done a parish directory, I've moved. Anybody else?
Father, here's the problem with not having a parish directory. If we don't know the person and we don't get a chance to go up and say anything to them,
right,
we go home and flip it open, that's their name, without embarrassing ourselves. Even though we've seen the same people. I've done it.
I do it all the time. So one thing but nice about parish directory is that you can go home and look people up without embarrassing yourself. Yeah, I do that
and
all the time.
If you don't know their name.
Yeah, that's how you figure out who they are.
That's how you figure out who they are.
All right.
I don't want to be a Debbie Downer.
All right, all right, all right. We'll look into it.
Give you the address and the phone number.
Yeah. All right, so are we kind of on the same page? I don't know what the vibe I'm getting here. Are we, this is going to stretch us a bit, and a lot of it is, I think, for some of you is if this will really happen. I understand that, but for us to really go into an apostolic mode as a parish community, because we have Christendom, our foundation is solid. Very solid. So to share what's been so generously given to us, I think it's important. Okay. You all have a nice evening. Thank you very much.
Okay. That was great. I think we were here for a purpose.
Oh.
So, acts or treats.
Yeah.
And I both of us kept going, should we say something? Should we say? So, St. Francis is doing
them. Right, doing those.
I went to the very first one.